Begin the current daf Masechta Shabbos daf Samach Beis. We begin the Amud Aleph. Begin with today's the Maskel the Hatanya. Today we begin the words of the Gemara that we learned in the Braiser. Boishim he says Ubavad Bchul etc. Today's going to explain where is it so obvious to the Gemara that it would be biblically prohibited to carry the amulet in his hand. That is, the Gemara wanted to say that even if there is sanctity in the amulet, we still did not make a gzeirah to go out with it to Rishus Rabim. That you might need the bathroom and then carry the amulet and Rishus Rabim, because yeah, the amulet is actually therapeutic even if it's in your hand. And even if you're going to take it in your hand, you're not going to be liable for transporting it to the amulet and Rishus Rabim, because it's still going to be qualified as a tash. That the Gemara asked, as a taste of masl is going on, we learned in the Braisa, but she said, as long as you don't hold it in your hand, you transport the amulet and Rishus Rabim. So you see that if you hold it in your hand, it's not considered a tash. However, on that taste, it says, Tamilari, it's a wonder to the re. How do you know this? How does the Gemara know that's the interpretation? Dilma, maybe this Rabbi Yishai says forbidden to go ahead and transport the amulet in your hand is Mishum Maris Se'ayin Dafku Hu Aser Midrabana. Maybe that's only rabbinically prohibited because the ones who are going to see that he's carrying something, they're not going to realize that it's a Kameya, and therefore it's rabbinically prohibited because of the appearance of wrongdoing. Kamei Kosher B'Sher B'Tabas, like we had previously in the Sugya, when the Kameya is tied onto a bracelet or onto a ring, we say that's forbidden to, even though really you're allowed to transport the Kameya, but because of Marasayin, that it looks like it's a Tachshin, it's really not. So, if that's the case, the Hashta said now, since even if he would carry in his hand four Amos and Rishus Rabim, actually would not be a biblical violation. It would only be rabbinic because of Maris Ayin. So then actually Lekele Migzer, so then we actually are back to the point we had previously said. No, we would not make a gzer that you should not go out with the Kamei to Rishus Rabim, because that Fila, Maisila, even if you do carry it, Leke Isurim, there I said there would not be any biblical violation. It would only be the rabbinic of Maris Ayin. So we're not going to make a gzer out to Maris Ayin, so then how are we necessarily rejecting from this Braisa? So Vaimari the Re says, no, the words, the Shaloye Chazene B'yaday, when the Braisa says that he should not hold it in his hand, that mashma, that sounds like a Fila B'kumtze, even if it's in his fist. Which is that even in the situation, the Leka Marasayin, where there's no appearance of wrongdoing, because no one could see, even so, that no one sees, it sounds like it still would be forbidden. Then why is it forbidden? Elay so there I say, obviously that there is a biblical violation, and that's where the Gemara asked, if it's forbidden biblically to transport it, then we should make a gzera that you should not go over to Kameya, because then you might come to transport it down Lamas and Shazram, which would be forbidden. Now, but then Taisa comes back to qualify what he said, that if we would interpret that the prohibition of transporting the Kameya is biblical, Taisa says, you know, we know it's biblical, because if it was rabbinic, because of Maris Ayin, that people wouldn't know it's a Kameya, then it would be permitted if it's concealed in his hand. And the inference is that it's forbidden even if it's concealed in his hand. But that's what Taisa has to answer, and he says, yes, because of Philemon, the Amal called Lava Shas Chacham Mishamasa Ayin, even according to the one who holds, which is brought elsewhere in Shas, that whatever the sage made forbidden because of appearance of wrongdoing. That afilah b'chadr chadar masa, that even in the person's most innermost chambers is still forbidden to be done, even though nobody sees. So wait a second. So then even if it's only rabbinically prohibited because of Maris Ayin, so then ties it back to his question. So then maybe it should be forbidden even though it's in his fist and no one sees it. And that ties it says no, because that concept is only if practically, if he would do it in front of people, they would suspect him, then even if he's doing it in private and concealed, then it's still going to be forbidden. But hacha here, le'shaych le'mikzer, it wouldn't be appropriate to make that gezerah. Because that fila imid b'shuk v'naysin becomes it. Because even if he's standing in the marketplace, and yet he's holding the amulet in his fist, inka marasayin, there wouldn't be even marasayin even over there because it's concealed in his hand. In such a situation, they would not make the gezerah. And therefore, from the fact that we're saying that it is forbidden, must be it's, even if it's in his fist, must be because it's a biblical violation. And that's why, that's how the Gemara knew that would make a gzeira not to take out the amulet in your hand, and that's why the Gemara ultimately rejected that. It had to come up with a different interpretation how to reject the raya regarding if the amulet has the kedusha to take in the bathroom or not. The next taste the Masechta begins the words of the Gemara shin shel tefillin, the shin that's on the bottom of the tefillin, which Taisa proves that only the shin in the tefillin is biblical, but not the other two letters of the word shakai, shin dal yud, the dalet and the yud. And then as the Gemara said, that the reason why it's forbidden to bring tefillin into the bathroom, even though it's covered with the leather case, is because the case itself has the shin on the outer part of the leather, which has sanctity, which is one of the letters of the God's name of Shaka. Now, Taisa says that, and we don't have in the text, to explain why you're forbidden to bring the tefillin into the bathroom, because that on the straps you have the dalis v'yud shal tefillin b'chulu, that you have the dal and the yud on the tefillin, etc. That's not the reason why you're not to go ahead and bring it into the bathroom, which, as it sounds like from Rashi, that yeah, the dal and the yud is also from God's name. And Tosfos says kedemuchach, and this is obvious, like beperek b'mamad likin, which the Gemara brought previously in the Chachamim and Beis. Okay, but how did Tanya Yisrael? Revisit Torah Brisa, lehokshu lemech shemayim b'chulu, that the only thing that's fit for God's work is the leather from a kosher animal. So the Gemara discusses it for what relevancy, and the Gemara says it's for tefillin. The Gemara says, when it's tefillin explicitly, it says the pasuk, matir tzeis Hashem b'ficha. The Gemara says it's for the leather, meaning the leather of the tefillin that the parish is placed in should be from the kosher animal. The Gemara says, what do you mean? That leather has the shin of the tefillin, halacha meishu mesinai. So obviously we know that you wouldn't need the brayser to teach you that halacha. Umuki law, so the Gemara explains it right. It's l'ritzur sehen. It's for the straps, that the straps have to be from a kosher animal. Now the Gemara says, what do you mean the straps, the being black is halacha meishu mesinai? And the Gemara says, yeah, but that's regarding the being black, but here we're talking about that they have to be from a kosher animal. But one thing is that v'loy parch, the Gemara does not ask, when it's talking about the tefillin, when we think it's regarding the case, or even from the straps that we ultimately say it, it doesn't ask, oh, just like it asks regarding the batim, it asks, wait a second, the batim, the shin is halacha meishu mesinai. How could you tell me, I don't need your halacha to tell me it has to be from a kosher animal that I knew from halacha meishu mesinai? Then if that's asked on the batim, then when the Gemara ultimately concludes that it's grounding ritzuis, so why doesn't the Gemara ask on that too? The dalet shel tefillin halacha meishu mesinai, that's in the straps. It has a dalet over there in the ritzuis of the tefillin shel reish. Why doesn't it ask the parak b'shin like it asks regarding the shin of the batim? That's obviously a proof, because the dalet and is not the same thing like the shin. The shin is biblical from halacha meishu mesinai, and therefore the Gemara doesn't ask that it should be forbidden to take in the tefillin to the bathroom only because of the shin and not because of the dalet, because the dalet and the yud don't have the same sanctity as the shin, and therefore it doesn't ask from the dal and the yud, and therefore also over here it's only the shin of tefillin that is telling us why tefillin is not allowed to be taken into the bathroom. Shemesh Tzeis Demasatetz begins with the words of the Gemara v'chilufein be'ish, and the opposite is by a man. That is, Ula had qualified the halacha, the Mishnah, that a woman going out with a ring, if there's a signet, she's not allowed to go out with it, and she'd be chayv achatas, because it's not even a tachshit. When there's no signet, so it's a tachshit, so she's exempt, but it's rabbinically prohibited because, like we said in the opening mission of this parak, because she might come to take it off, show it off, and carry dalamas and shows it up. And then he says, and the opposite is true by a man. Now, that I'm Rabbeinu Tam, he says, when the opposite is by a man, what he means to say is, da'achiv chatas koi. It's going on one half of it, regarding the liability of a chatas. In other words, a man that goes out with a ring that does not have a signet, there he should be chayav achatzis, because that's considered a masai. It's not a tachshit for him because he doesn't go out if there's no signet. He doesn't really wear a ring. He wears a ring that has a signet, which he needs from his business dealings. But what Rabbeinu Tam is coming to say, but it's not for the other half of the halacha to say, and that it should be rabbinically prohibited for him to go out with a ring that has a chayisim, just like we say by the woman, that there's two ideas. That's forbidden to her to go out like a tchila with a ring that doesn't have a chayisim. No, says Rabbeinu Tam, no. A woman is forbidden to go out with it rabbinically because she might come to take it off and show it off to her friends. But a man, that's not the norm. Therefore, he actually is allowed to go out with a ring that has a chayisim l'ketchila, which Rabbeinu Tam is coming to exclude from Rashi, where Rashi says that it's actually by a man is exactly the opposite of a woman, that if he goes out with a tabas that has a chayisim, he says it's pater, but it sounds like from Rashi that it would be l'ketchila forbidden for a man to go out with a ring, even if it has a chayisim. Shemek says the master begins words of the Gemara v'chometzah seishas mangurama, and any time-bound commandment, nashim b'turis, women are exempt. Shemek is going to explain that why didn't they permit a woman to carry the tefillin that were found if she's wearing them because of she's carrying in an indirect way. That is, the Gemara had asked if it's permitted for a woman to bring in tefillin that she finds one pair at a time as wearing it, but women are exempt from tefillin, as it's a mitzvah seishas mangurama. So, Pirush, what that means to say is that tefillin regarding women is not like men, that since they're obligated in it in wearing tefillin, so it's like a tachshit. Rather, they have a masi. It's like a load. And therefore, belitzer should be forbidden for them to transport it through carrying. That was the Gemara's discussion. On that point of the Gemara, Tosfos says, v'im teme v'igin to say, but v'itzol kalach yadi. Tosfos has to take a second look. What do you mean? It's transporting in the indirect way. Because, yeah, women don't wear tefillin. And so therefore it's a masa. But since they don't wear tefillin, when a woman's wearing tefillin on her arm, on her head, that's not the normal way you carry something. A person that it's not normally adorned by them, they usually carry in their hand. And therefore, since it's indirect and it's not biblically prohibited, so b'sharim shem b'zayin tefillin, so it should be permitted, even rabbinically, because of the disgrace of the tefillin, we should allow this indirect type of transporting. What you could say is, no, kim the masa, since ultimately, really, it is a biblical violation, meaning it's carrying a load. And you're right, even though you're doing it indirectly, it's not the biblical violation. But and it could come to violate a biblical violation to bichai v'chatas if she's going to carry it, not in this indirect way of wearing it, but rather in her hands. So even for the disgrace of the tefillin, we don't permit the woman to take it out, even if she'd be wearing it, because of the concern that she might not do it in the indirect way. And bichai for isa d'raisa, so therefore, even in this situation of bizayin, we don't permit her to go ahead and carry it on in this indirect way of wearing the tefillin.